An honor to get to be here with you tonight, and it's good to be back in North Carolina. It's good to be at Calvary Baptist Church again, and thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to get to speak tonight, and good to see you folks here. It's hard to believe we've been gone 5 years, and boy, it just goes by so quickly, and here we are about to wrap up another year, getting ready to enter into a new year, if the Lord tarries is coming. Now, I'll be honest, I'd just soon the rapture take place. I'm ready to go. And where I'm going is, it's wonderful. Somebody said, well, the best you'll ever live is what you're enjoying right now. And I said, well, I disagree. The best I'm going to have is yet to come. And so thank the Lord for that. And I love you, Pastor, his wife, their family. I love this church here. And I wish my entire family could have been here with me tonight. But I had just a little window of opportunity to get here, fly in. And our oldest son, Isaac, and his wife, they're getting ready to have a baby any minute now. And so that will be our third grandbaby. And I'll tell you, we're having the time of our life. And I said, what better Christmas, you know, to have Christmas and then a new grandbaby coming. And then, of course, like the preacher said, my mom's birthday tomorrow, and get to have lunch with her and then head out tomorrow night. But it's always a joy to get to be back here at Calvary. And we have great memories of the times we were here. The Lord blessed and wonderful. And you folks have prayed for us, and we appreciate it so very, very much. And we're honored to be your friends and have you as our friends. And what a joy, what a blessing. And your pastor has been such an encouragement to me. I still will never forget, I think it was 1995 when our paths first crossed. And that was in Lenore and North Carolina. And I had never met him. We had never met before. And I called him up. I was raising support to go to Washington State and start a church. And they had us in. And then the church there took us on for support. And what a blessing that was. And so I'm just glad that God crossed our paths. As he said, it's great to have friendships. And it's good to have pastor friends, and your pastor's been that. He was at our church not long ago and preached for us all day on Sunday, and we had a missions emphasis Sunday, and it was great. I told him we were able to take on 5 more brand new missionaries after he was there and spoke for us, and several of our folks made mention about your sermon on Sunday night about faith and great faith, and I appreciate that so much. It's exciting to see what's here, and I got to see your new building next door today. What a blessing that is, and I know you're excited about that, but looking forward to this Christmas coming up. I do not have a Christmas message for you tonight, but I have a message that someone made a comment here just a few weeks ago, and it just registered in my mind, and I wrote down the little thought, and I thought, wow, that's an amazing thought, and I hope and pray that the Lord would help me if I ever had that thought come into my mind. And that thought was this. I was just listening to people talk, and I didn't even know the person who was making the conversation. There was quite a few people gathered there. And the person said, I just don't know if I can make it through the end of the year with all that I've had to deal with all year long. And I just thought, wow, I wonder how many people in the world are having that same feeling right now. You know, it's supposed to be the most joyous time of the year, most wonderful time of the year. If you're a Christian, every day is the most wonderful time of the year, if you know the Lord. But that thought just resonated in my mind. And so I want to just talk to you a little bit about that tonight, and looking forward to, as this year comes to a close here in just a few days, and kind of hard to believe we're looking at a brand new year already again. Seemed like it just started. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, I know this is a text that you have heard probably multiple times, many sermons about David fighting Goliath. But after that little thought, I wrote that little thought down, resonated in my mind, and the Lord brought me to this text right here, and I'll be honest, if no one else tonight, it helped me, and I thought, wow, if I were in that person's shoes, and I were to think that way, thinking, wow, coming down to the end of the year with all that I've been through, how could I keep on going? And so tonight, I want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight. And 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and let's just kind of look. I'm going to skip around a few verses here tonight to get down to the text that I want and just share a few thoughts with you tonight. And again, thank you, Pastor. It's an honor to be here tonight and be with you wonderful people here. And I pray God blesses you and gives you a great, great Christmas and year end here. But 1 Samuel 17, we know the story well. Verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. I certainly don't mean by the text tonight to think that Christmas is a valley time or coming into a new year, but it is kind of a looking at the end of one year, beginning of a brand new year. And here the Philistines are gathered together to do what? Battle against God's people. And we all know that if you're a Christian, Satan wants to do battle with us on a regular basis, and it's a constant battle, that flesh and that spirit. And as I was reading this text, I thought, wow, here's the valley, and one is on one side, and one is on the other side, and setting up for the battle of all the ages at that time, as they're probably thinking. And then I want you to look with me down here, if you would, in verse number 8. And we know what they call the champion Goliath. He comes out, and he's a big fella, and he's got a lot of big talk, and he's just sharing here in verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me, if he be able. And I want you to notice that little phrase there. If he be able. That was a little phrase that just jumped out at me when I was reading this text. And I heard that person say, well, I just don't know if I can make it through with everything that I've been through. And sometimes we have these little like prepositional phrases maybe come in our life. If he be able. And here's the champion of the Philistines crying out to the people of God, and kind of like boasting and bragging and just kind of egging them on a little bit. And notice he said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. The only thing I can say about this text about Goliath is, boy, he did not know what was coming ahead of him, did he? And all this, if he be able and if you be able. Well, I tell you tonight, as a Christian, I'm glad that I've got a God that I don't have to worry about the ifs. And I've got a God who knows everything about you and I. He knows today. He knows tomorrow. None of us do. Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But I'll tell you what, how comforting it is to know that I don't know what 2024 holds as Lord tarries is coming, but I know the one who does. And I know the God of all that has it all planned out. And so as we read on, look at the next verse number 10. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And again, I read this and just think, boy, they just don't know who they're speaking with here or they're speaking about. And so then look at verse number 11, if you would. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words. Now don't miss, here are the people who are hearing the enemy speak to them. And trying to belittle them, trying to make them feel less than who they really are. And he says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then I want you to turn with me over to verse number 29. And I'm skipping a lot here tonight, but I just want to kind of lay the foundation here and share some thoughts with you just from my heart tonight. Well, we know the story goes on, and Saul and David's older brothers, they all gathered together and they're listening to Goliath as he's chanting out all these negativities toward the people of God and belittling them. And what they didn't know is David's over here on the sidelines and he's listening in also. And he's hearing everything that the champion Goliath is saying. And he notices here that when Saul and all the men of Israel heard the words, boy, their countenance changed. They were dismayed. They were afraid. And later we'll see here, I didn't read this verse, but verse number 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. But there's one young boy, one teenage young boy named David. We know the story well. Look at verse 29. And David overhears this, and his brothers kind of speak evil against their own younger brother here. And David said, verse 29, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And I love that verse right there, that little sentence there. Is there not a cause? When I heard that gentleman say here recently about, well, I just don't know if I can make it. And I said, I think a person would say that if they've lost their cause. If they don't have a cause for which to live. And my message tonight is this right here. It's just a simple little challenge. I'm excited about where we are tonight and looking forward to the end of this year. But I believe also that I need to prepare also for what's ahead for next year. Even though I don't know what might be on the other side or around the corner or in the near future. But there's one thing I don't want to do, and I don't want to lose my cause or my purpose for which I live. And the reason I don't want, as I mentioned a while ago, we have our third grandbaby coming. And I'll tell you, it is such a joy, you know, to see your children grow up and then your grandchildren come behind you. And I want them one day to say, I'm glad Grandpa did not lose his purpose and his cause in life, because all of us that are here tonight, we must realize we have little eyes that are watching us all the time. And people are looking at our lives, they're watching us, I'm already working on next year's purpose. What do I want that God wants in my life? I'm excited about Christmas, but I'm already looking ahead. I believe the Apostle Paul said that. He said, I can't go back and do anything about what's behind me. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, but I'm reaching out unto those things which are before. And I like how he puts it in an athletic term. I press toward the mark. And I'll be honest with you, if we're not careful, it is so easy in the Christian life to let the devil and negativity and all the downs of life and the circumstances sometimes rob us of our purpose for the future. And I thought, Lord, I don't know what 2024 holds, but I know the one who holds it. But I know one thing about me is I don't want to lose my purpose for which you made me. You know, the Bible says, Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to, and maybe you say it with me, His purpose. You know, I get in trouble when I live my life for my purpose. And I want to live my life for His purpose. And the other day when I heard that gentleman say that, I thought, well, I think I have the answer. But I didn't know the person. We was in a crowded place and in a little shopping store there. And I just was over here. But I'll be honest, I wanted to preach a sermon right there and say, hey, I'll tell you how you make it. Don't lose your purpose. And don't lose your cause for which God created us. Every person in this room tonight, God still has a purpose. He still has a plan. He still has something that He wants all of us to carry out in life. And I know maybe this year maybe has not been everything that we had hoped it would be this year. Or maybe some ups and some downs and maybe some valleys. And boy, maybe the devil really worked on us, and discouraged us. And like the Saul and the armies of Israel, they were greatly dismayed and discouraged and down. But I love this young boy's fervor. I love his spirit. I love his attitude. And he said, hey, is there not a cause? And tonight, before we reach 2024, if I could just remind us all, let's not forget there is a cause. And there is a purpose for which we're here. And we may not know what that is, but I'll tell you what, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I have to tell myself constantly, cease from thine own wisdom. I don't know if anybody else has a problem with that, but boy, this preacher tonight sometimes does. And boy, the wisdom, I have to say, cease from thine own wisdom. Wait a minute. God said he would give wisdom to all those that lack wisdom and would ask him for that wisdom. And here lately, I've been begging God for wisdom because, Lord, I need wisdom and I want to carry on and I want to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. I was thinking back just a few years ago. It was a Sunday night in our church. And as I was preaching that night, I had just got up and read my text. And the doors in the back of the sanctuary opened up. And I saw one of our ushers escorting a gentleman and his wife into the church building. And they sat down on my right, right over here, your left, and about three, four rows from the back. And I noticed the gentleman when he came in, he had a cane and he was walking really slow. And I just thought, okay, I can't wait till after the service. I want to meet these people. And it was their first time being in our church. And I'll never forget when the sermon and the service ended that night, I made my way quickly back there and just, I'd like to greet the visitors and welcome them. And when I got to the back, the gentleman was still sitting down and I said, I'm Pastor Campbell. It's so good to meet you. I said, I believe this is your first time. I don't think I've ever seen you here before in our church. And they said, oh, it is the first time. And he said, we've never been here before. We had heard about your church. We just newly moved into the area. And they said, we looked online and we saw you're the type of church that we're looking for. And that's always encouraging, you know, when you have that happen. And I said, well, wow, we're just so glad to have you here. And that night I just preached about, what will you do with the rest of your life? And that was kind of the message title. Little did he know who, was going to be in the service. And the gentleman asked me, he said, Pastor, would you mind just sitting down for just a minute? I'd like to talk to you. And I said, sure. He said, my name is Carl Klopp, and this is my wife, Linda. He said, you probably noticed I came in tonight walking with a cane. And he said, I've just recently been diagnosed with cancer. And he said, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm in stage 4. And he said, I'm here tonight. And he said, and I can't tell you how much your message has helped me tonight. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm so honored that you would say that. And thank the Lord. The Lord crossed our paths spiritually to know how to help. And he said to me, he said, I noticed you talking about your purpose of life and living for others. And he said, you know, I've been saved a few years, not that long, about 15 to 16 years. And he said, but I heard you talking about tonight that God still has something that he wants us to do. And I said, well, that is so true. And he said, well, could I just share something with you? He said, I'm not afraid to go to heaven. But he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I feel ashamed to go to heaven. I had never had anybody tell me that. I said, what do you mean by ashamed? He said, I'll tell you why I feel ashamed. He said, because I've never had the opportunity to tell one person about Jesus Christ. And I said, okay. And he said, Pastor, I've got to ask you a question. I know we just got here tonight. He said, but I heard you announce tonight that you're going to go out Thursday night, I think, and talk to people about the Lord. He said, I know I'm not feeling well all the time. He said, but would it be possible if I could go with you this Thursday night? He said, I don't have long to live. Doctors have told me I have about 6 to 8 months to live. And he said, I'd like to make up for lost time. And I said, Brother Carl, that'd be great. We set it up on Thursday night. I went by and picked him up. I walked up to the door and I helped him get out to the car. We seated in the car and I said, I've got some visits picked out that we're going to go make. And we made the first visit or two and the people were cordial and just there. I was praying in my mind. I said, Lord, I pray you'll do something for this gentleman tonight that is so hungry, that so wants to see you do something big and amazing in his life. And we went to another door or two, and then finally we got to a door, and I'll never forget it. He was standing there by my side, and he told me before we ever get to the door, he said, "Now, preacher," he said, "are you okay if I just don't say anything?" He said, "I don't think I could speak in front of anybody because I really don't know what I would say. This is all new to me." He said, but I just want to be a part of it. And he said, "Would it be okay if I just pray while you do all the talking?" I said, "Oh, Brother Carl, that'd be great." I said, "That'd be great. I just love having you there. And I always enjoy having a prayer partner there with me." And believe it or not, we knocked on the door, and a gentleman and his wife came to the door, and I told them we were out visiting from the church, and they said, "Oh, that is great, church. We've just been talking about church." And I said, "Well, that is great." They said, "Would you gentlemen mind coming into the living room just for a few minutes?" And all of a sudden in my mind, I'm thinking, "Oh, praise the Lord, I believe this is it, hoping this is it." And I won't go into all the story, but we sat there in the living room for probably an hour and 15 minutes. We got down to the time, and I said, "Well, ma'am, I'd like to ask you a question. And sir, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" I said, "I hope you'd come to our church. It's important to have a good church. It's important to get grounded in the Word of God." And both of them said, they looked at each other and said, I don't know that we know for sure that we're on our way to heaven." And I said, "Would you allow me the opportunity to take my testament and show you some verses out of the Bible?" And they did. I was not trying to pay attention, but Carl, the gentleman on my right, he was sitting there in his cane just started tapping the floor. And just tapping the floor. And the more I went through the plan of salvation, oh, he was just sitting there. He was so excited. And about that time, I asked the question, "Would both of you like to bow right now and pray with me and receive Jesus into your heart?" And before they started to pray, Carl spoke up and said, "I can't hold back anymore. I got to tell you something. I came tonight for the first time ever in my life to tell you or to see the preacher tell you about Jesus." And he said, "I even told him coming into the door, I can't say a word." He said, "But I don't think I can hold back anymore." And he said, "You are listening to a dying man tonight. I don't have long to live." And he told him about his cancer and about all of that. And he said, "I'm begging you, would you please receive Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight?" And boy, about that time, the man and the lady, they bowed their head, they prayed, they trusted Christ as their Savior. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord. We left the house, we got out on the sidewalk. Carl was just praising God. He was just raising that cane up in the air, just thanking God, glory. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I found my purpose tonight. I found it, I found it, I found it tonight." And you know, as we look into a brand new year, I love what David said. Is there not a cause? I don't know what everybody's purpose is that God has in store for us, but I'll tell you what, I want to find that purpose. And I want to just leave you with these few thoughts here tonight. There's just four or five thoughts that I look at here and just kind of encourage me. I want you to look at verse number 2 tonight, if you would. And the Bible said, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they pitched by the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines." Now notice who this is. This is the children of Israel and Saul. And I looked at that, and we all know that they went out to battle, and they showed up, and they were ready to fight against the Philistines. But when it came down to fighting the Philistines, they all turned back. And only one man named David who said, "Is there not a cause?" was the one who ended up fighting. And I sat there and I thought about that. And I thought, well, you know what? Sometimes in a brand new year, as we're looking into it, a lot of people sometimes start off really good. But not everybody finishes. And you know, as we look into a brand new year, I don't know about you, I want to be a finisher. I don't want to just start this thing. You know, and years ago when God saved me and called me in the ministry, I don't believe God called me in the ministry to just go a certain point and then stop. And I thought, wow, this so spoke to me that these people really had a start and they were planning and they were ready to go. And you know, if we're not careful, sometimes we will see sometimes ourselves or others start off good. But the truth of the matter is where we're going to end up when it's the finish time. And you know, as we coming into this year, I was reminded, I don't want to be a quitter. I want to keep on keeping on. I, like many of you tonight, could say, boy, this year's been a challenging year. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of valleys. There's been a lot of difficulties. Boy, the devil's fought me tooth and nail, as I'm sure he has most of you, if not all. But I'll tell you what, I didn't get in this thing to start and not finish. And I want to be a finisher tonight by God's grace. And I won't be like Paul. This one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, but I'm pressing toward the mark. Tonight, if I can encourage you, find that mark that you have tonight. And as you start out the new year, start out, if you're reading your Bible through the year next year, don't get just a few weeks into it and then quit. Let's be a finisher. Let's get all the way through. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've been encouraging our church, if you don't have a prayer life, boy, you need a prayer life. And when you start that thing, don't get it started and then quit. No, stay at it, stay at it, stay at it, stay at it. I'll never forget one day I walked into the house and on the answer machine I saw a message there, and a gentleman on the phone message said, I just needed to call you that today I just found Jesus as my Savior. I got saved. Now, why that is so important is, yes, he got saved, but that gentleman, we had been praying for 21 years that he would get saved. And I'm so glad that all those 21 years I didn't just quit and take him off the list. So if God gives us a brand new year, let's start something, but let's don't quit. Let's be finishers. The next thing that I got to thinking about is verse number 8 through verse 11. Sometimes people start, but not everybody finishes. Well, I want to be a finisher in the year 2024. I want to finish this year in 2023. But look in verse number 8 quickly. And he stood, he cried to the armies of Israel, and he asked them, why are you come out and set your battle in array? And then look at verse 9. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And then here's the verse again we read. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then in verse 24, we saw they fled from him and turned back. Not only sometimes do we start, but we don't finish. Second thing, sometimes we start, but we don't like having to face challenges that are before us. I think Saul and the men of Israel, when they got out there, boy, they saw a challenge and they said, you know what, this challenge is just too big. And I don't have time to go into it, but we know the truth. There's never been a mountain too big that our God can't get us across it. There's never been a river too wide that God can't make some way to get us through that. There's never been a valley so deep that God couldn't bring us out of the valley and get us to the other side. And we're going to have challenges this next year that we don't know what might lie ahead of us, but let's not let challenges that the enemy or Satan tries to put before us stop us and cause us to turn back and to flee away. And we came through COVID times like we all did in the last few years. And boy, what a challenging time. And it really changed the dynamics of a lot of things in our life and in our world and in our ministries. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad that I've got a God that knows how to navigate through whatever the circumstances of life are. And God's able to get us through the challenging times of life, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a financial challenge or a burden or a trial or a hardship that comes in our life. Sometimes people just don't like facing challenges in life. But let's not let the challenges we face in life cause us to stop or to turn back. I love 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And I'm so glad that I've got a God that can navigate me and my life and your life through challenges that happen to come through the circumstances of life. And then the third thing is this right here, verse 24 of our text in chapter 20. And it said, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I wonder if sometimes that people see how sometimes other people react when the pressure gets heated up. And notice what happened. They saw the circumstances and they said, wow, boy, that giant there, I don't think anybody's able to defeat him. Folks, there's never been a challenge that our God couldn't defeat and take care of. Nothing in our life. Doesn't matter. And so as we see this here, sometimes I have watched, you have watched, probably how sometimes people react whenever maybe the pressures of life or the heat gets up. I wonder how many people watched Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were thrown in the burning fiery furnace and they just kept on trusting God. They ceased from their own wisdom and they said, you know what? If we get thrown in the burning fiery furnace, we're still going to honor our God. We're still going to serve Him. He's going to still be number one. And boy, that's the purpose I think David was saying. Is there not a cause? And tonight, I want to end this year with a cause like I've never had. And I don't want to allow what others see in me to deflect them from going forward in life because I didn't go forward. And I'm telling you tonight, sometimes people, as I said, are watching us all the time. And then the next thing is I saw in verse number 32 and verse 33, the scripture says here in chapter 17, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. I wrote down, I said, sometimes we look out if we're not careful and we see maybe that nobody else volunteers, and so we don't volunteer. I'm so glad. You know, Saul should have been the biggest cheerleader. In fact, Saul should have been the one out there fighting in front of David. You know, over the years that I've been in the ministry, I've seen a lot of times where I just thought, will somebody volunteer? Will somebody step up to the plate? Well, I quit asking that question. Every time there's an available opportunity, I just say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to step up. I'm just going to press on. I'm going to take that on. And I'm going to see that as a challenge. And it's so easy sometimes to make excuses of how we can't do it, or the enemy's too big, or where we're just too fearful or just too afraid. I know we don't know what might lie ahead of us in the new year, but I'll tell you what, I've got a great, big, wonderful God. And the Bible said in Psalm 34, 3, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I just look at it this way. I've got a God that is bigger than anything I face in life. And why not magnify Him? Use Him. Let Him be the instigator of why I go forward, why I go on. So if nobody else volunteers, I want to volunteer. Can I tell you tonight, I am where I'm at in life tonight. Because I knew that when I was in late teenage years, God was burning in my heart. And God just put something in my heart, and I just thought. And I used to tell the Lord, Lord, I'll do anything but preach. You ever tell the Lord, I'll do anything but this? And then sometimes you end up doing the very thing you said you wouldn't do. Well, that was me. I said, I'll do anything. I said, Lord, you know, I can't even stand in the book in the school class and give an oral book report without caving in. I just can't do it. I'm just not a public speaker, but I'll do anything else. And little did I know that God was going to navigate my life to put me in a place where I'm at today. But to God be the glory, great things He has done. And God saw things in me that I didn't see in myself. And I'm a no one, but I'll tell you what, my God is somebody tonight. My God is a big God tonight. And I'm just saying, this next year, I don't know what Lord has in store, but I want Him to know I'm volunteering. Is there not a cause? Hey, I want to find that cause, and I want to find that purpose, and I want to give it everything that I have in life. And then the next thing is verse 34. The Bible says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock and went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And I thought, you know, if we're not careful, sometimes people will look and see other people who've had past battles But those battles, I believe, also brings about a victory. It's hard to have a victory if you don't have a battle. It's hard to have a success if you don't have some challenges of life. But it's all about how we look at things. That gentleman I heard the other day who said, I just don't know if I can make it through life with all that I've had to go. It's easy sometimes for us to lose sight of the true cause that God has for us. And then I close with verse 45. And the Bible said, let's go to verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You know, it just might be somebody might keep on keeping on if they see the God that we serve in us. Amen. Boy, what did the people see that day? They saw that David said, I've got a big God. Don't look at David. David's not going to get the job done. It's God. Amen. By the way, 2024, no matter what we might face in life, let's make sure we give all the glory to God. It is God that gets us through. It is God that gives us the power. It's God that gives us the strength. It's God that gives us the ability and the opportunities to do what we do for Christ. I don't know about you, but I was telling Pastor tonight in the study, last few years I've been reading a new Bible every year. In January, I've already got a brand new Bible, getting ready to start a new one January 1. I went to my office the other day, and I looked over there, and I got several Bibles that are on the shelf, and I'll use a Bible this year and put notes in it. Somebody asked me not long ago in the church, said, Pastor, how come you start a new Bible every year? And I said, well, that's easy to say. I said, one day I was praying that God would let me have some children. And then after children, grandchildren. If there's one thing I want to hand off to the next generation is I want to hand off the same Bible and the same God that God has been through me and the Word of God that has kept me going all these years. And one of these days, that's going to be a gift that I give to all my kids and all my grandkids. And I pray that I told my son and his wife not long ago, I said, hey, just keep on having grandbabies. I said, I want to keep reading the new Bible every year. I want to pass that on to them every year. And I want them to know that I had a grandpa. And they call us, my wife's Lolly and I'm Pops. The names, and so we're Lollipops. And so I said, hey, I want to be able to have a Bible to hand off to my little grandkids one day. And if I'm going to glory, I want them to be able to say, boy, I've got proof right here that I had a granddaddy that spent time with God. And I don't know what God has in store for you or for me for the next year. But I tell you what, is there not a cause? Our Father, thank you tonight for being so good to us, so gracious, so kind.